Chapter 23. Thomas wondered long and hard about Albi. It seemed such a victory just to save his life, bring him back from a night in the maze. But had it been worth it? Now the boy was in intense pain, going through the same things as Ben. And what if he became as psychotic as Ben? Troubling thoughts all around. Twilight fell upon the glade, and Albi's screams continued to haunt the air. It was impossible to escape the terrible sound, even after Thomas finally talked the medjacks into letting him go, weary, sore, bandaged, but tired of the piercing, agonized wails of their leader. Newt had adamantly refused when Thomas asked to see the person he'd risked his life for. "It'll only make it worse," he'd said, and would not be swayed. Thomas was too tired to put up a fight. He'd had no idea it was possible to feel so exhausted, despite the few hours of sleep he'd gotten. He'd hurt too much to do anything after that, and had spent most of the day on a bench on the outskirts of the Deadheads, wallowing in despair. The elation of his escape had faded rapidly, leaving him with pain and thoughts of his new life in the glade. Every muscle ached. Cuts and bruises covered him from head to toe. But even that wasn't as bad as the heavy emotional weight of what he'd been through the previous night. It seemed as if all the realities of living there had finally settled in his mind, like hearing a final diagnosis of terminal cancer. How could anyone ever be happy in a life like this, he thought. Then, how could anyone be evil enough to do this to us? He understood more than ever the passion the gladers felt for finding their way out of the maze. It wasn't just a matter of escape. For the first time, he felt a hunger to get revenge on the people responsible for sending him there. But those thoughts just led back to the hopelessness that had filled him so many times already. If Newt and the others hadn't been able to solve the maze after 2 years of searching, it seemed impossible there could actually be a solution. The fact that the gladers hadn't given up said more about these people than anything else. And now he was one of them. "This is my life," he thought, "living in a giant maze surrounded by hideous beasts." Sadness filled him like a heavy poison. Albi's screams, now distant but still audible, only made it worse. He had to squeeze his hands to his ears every time he heard them. Eventually, the day dragged to a close, and the setting of the sun brought the now familiar grinding of the four doors closing for the night. Thomas had no memory of his life before the box, but he was positive he'd finished the worst 24 hours of his existence. Just after dark, Chuck brought him some dinner and a big glass of cold water. "Thanks," Thomas said, feeling a burst of warmth for the kid. He scooped the beef and noodles off the plate as fast as his aching arms could move. "I so needed this," he mumbled through a huge bite. He took a big swig of his drink, then went back to attacking the food. He hadn't realized how hungry he was until he'd started eating.
"You're disgusting when you eat," Chuck said, sitting on the bench next to him. "It's like watching a starving pig eat his own clunk."
"That's funny," Thomas said, sarcasm lacing his voice. "You should go entertain the grievers, see if they laugh."
A quick expression of hurt flashed across Chuck's face, making Thomas feel bad, but vanished almost as fast as it had appeared.
"That reminds me, you're the talk of the town."
Thomas sat up straighter, not sure how he felt about the news.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"Oh, gee, let me think. First, you go out in the maze when you're not supposed to, at night. Then you turn into some kind of freaky jungle dude, climbing vines and tying people up on walls. Next, you become one of the first people ever to survive an entire night outside the glade. And to top it all off, you kill four grievers."
"Can't imagine what those shanks are talking about,"